Hello, everybody. I'm Hank Wilson. Welcome to the Hidden History of Texas. This is episode 29, I think it's called, Los Tejanos. Yes. We're now in 1836, and the Texas Revolution is going to get bloody and come to a close. Now, in previous episodes, I've discussed the battles that took place, Gonzales, Goliad, or La Bahia, and the Siege of Bear, or San Antonio, which took place from October through December of 1835. Now, after the Siege of Bear, Texans are in control of San Antonio. Now, I'm not going to delve into the actual battle for the Alamo today. Today, though, I want to talk about a segment of the Texas population that played a very important role in the Revolution, and that is the Tejanos. Now, who are the Tejanos? Well, simply put, they're Mexican Texans. They are the descendants of the Spanish who first colonized Mexico and then moved north into Texas. Through this period, they were Mexican citizens. And just as it was among the Mexicans living south of the Rio Grande, there were those who supported the strong central government of Santa Anna and those who opposed it. They wanted more autonomy for what was then known as the Mexican state of Texas. Now, in that respect, they were very much like the Anglos, who were very early settlers. Those very early Anglo settlers were quite different. I'm talking about the ones who arrived in the 1820s, okay, and early on in the 1830s. They were quite different from the ones who flooded in during the 1830s. The majority of these later Anglos came from the Deep South, and they held the same prejudices as most of those in the South. Now, regardless of that, and I will talk more about the divide between the races and the ethnic groups in later episodes, particularly when it comes after the Revolution. Now, in those later episodes, but both the siege and Battle of the Alamo involved a considerable number of Tejanos, okay? So again, regardless of the prejudices, okay, and I'm not going to ignore those because they're very real. Both the siege and the Battle of the Alamo involved a considerable number of Tejanos. They served as defenders, couriers, and non-combatants. In fact, the vast majority of survivors of the final assault in the early morning hours of March 6, 1836 were Tejanos. There were some Tejanos who participated in the events of the siege and the final assault as people loyal to the federal government, either as government officials or members of the Mexican military, conscripted members of the Mexican military. There is no way to give an exact number of Tejano defenders. In spite of folklore in Hollywood, there's also no way to give an exact number of Anglo defenders. But why is this? Well, there were no battle muster rolls and casualty lists. Therefore, historians, such as myself, have to rely on a wide variety of sources to come at some idea of a total number of defenders. Now, the problem is exacerbated in the case of Tejanos because some sources completely dismiss them. An example of this is William Barrett Travis's letter of March 3rd to the president of the convention of 1836. In which Travis stated that the citizens of San Antonio were all enemies, well, except for the ones who entered the Alamo with the Texians, and that there were only three Mexicans in the fort with them. Well, we know that's not true, because after examining the available reliable information, scholars have compiled a much longer list of Tejano participants. Now, this includes events beginning with the arrival of the Mexican army on February 23rd, 1836, through the final assault on March 6, 1836. In fact, Juan N. Seguin, the senior Tejano military officer, and who the city of Seguin is named after, entered the Alamo with other defenders on February 23rd. The troop included approximately 15 men, most of whom left sometime after Seguin himself was sent out as a courier on February 25th. But also entering the Alamo on that first day were Carlos Espaillet, Gregorio Jose Maria Esparza, Brigido Guerrero, the latter a Mexican army deserter who, like Espaillet, appears to have been among James Bowie's men rather than a part of Seguin's command. Along with Espaillet and Esparza, the other Tejano defenders recognized as having died in the final assault included Juan Abamillo, Juan Antonio Badillo, Antonio Fuentes, Jose Toribio Lasoya, Andres Nava, and Damasio Jimenez, whose death in the final assault was only discovered in 1986. Now, San Antonio resident Pablo Diaz, who would have been 20 years old at the time of the battle, claimed in a 1906 newspaper interview that he saw the body of one other Tejano defender, a man he identified simply as Cervantes. Now, though Seguin's 1858 list of his company in the fall 1835 siege of campaign did include the name Agapito Cervantes, however, the Diaz claim has never really been substantiated. Now, at least one scholar also includes Guadalupe Rodriguez among the Alamo fallen on the base of his apparent entry into the fort with Seguin's group. But Rodriguez's name does not appear on any mustard roll or other documentation following the battle. So while we know that Tejanos were there and played a role in the defense of the Alamo, we'll probably never know for certain all of their names. According to documents at the Institute of Texas Cultures and the Texas State Historical Association, the Tejano survivors of the final assault were, with only one known exception, non-combatant women and children. They included Ana Salazar de Esparza, the wife of Gregorio, who had with her her three sons, including Enrique. Enrique grew up to provide substantial interviews on the battle in his old age. Although her relationship to Esparza's is not entirely clear, Petra Gonzalez was also part of the Esparza party. Concepcion Lasoya, defender Jose Toribio Lasoya's mother, was accompanied into the Alamo by her daughter Juana Lasoya Melton, who had married defender Elilio Melton, and their son Juan. Also present were sisters Juana Navarro Alsbury and Gertrudis Navarro, who were the daughters of the Department of Bear's political chief, Jose Angel Navarro. Juana's 11-month-old son, Alejo Perez, the youngest person in the fort at the time of the battle, was also probably the last survivor of the battle. According to Enrique Esparza, Victoriana Salinas and her three daughters were also present. So, too, was Brigido Guerrero, the Mexican army deserter, who had joined Bowie's party. He claimed to have survived the battle by hiding and waiting to be discovered. Once he was found, he claimed to have been a prisoner of the Texians. His story was somewhat corroborated by Juan Alamante, one of Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna's officers. He said there indeed was a Mexican soldier prisoner who survived the final assault. Also, Enrique Esparza mentioned Guerrero by name as having hidden behind Ana Esparza, Enrique's mother, before making his case and being spared. Now, Juan Seguin was not the only Tejano courier from the Alamo. Matias Corvier left with Seguin. They were met outside the walls by Antonio Cruz Iarrocha. Even though he was not one of the defenders, he did assist the Tejano couriers through the Mexican lines. Now, during a three-day amnesty, another Rocha, Jose Maria, departed. According to Seguin, Alejandro de la Garza was also sent from the Alamo, but historians are not certain of when he was sent. Now, two other Alamo Tejanos were involved in outside assignments that prevented their participation in the defense. Trinidad Coy was captured on February 23rd by the Mexican advance party and only escaped at the end of the battle. Luciano, Jose Sebastian Pacheco, had been sent by Seguin to retrieve a trunk of personal belongings at the time the Mexican army was advancing, and he was unable to make his way back into the fort. Caldelario Villanueva testified in 1859 that he was one of Seguin's men and was about to enter the Alamo with the company when Seguin sent him to lock up his house. He was unable to reach the fort and remained in town through the final assault. Now, the balance of Seguin's men who entered the fort with him on February 23rd constitute a controversial part of the Alamo story. According to Enrique Esparza, Santa Anna declared a three-day armistice after the first week of the siege. Well, this contradicts Santa Anna's own communications with General Jose de Herrera, in which he made clear that Americans in arms against Mexico should be treated as pirates, as well as the Mexicans who joined them. Now, without any official Mexican military records indicating any grace period, and Santa Anna's expressed opinion the armistice took place is up for discussion, okay? So nobody can really tell. There was a lull in the fighting that matches up with the known movement of people out of the fort. According to at least one account during that period, Seguin's men, Simon Arriola, Cesario Carmona, Lucio Enriquez, Manuel Flores, Salvador Flores, Ignacio Guerrero, Pedro Herrera, Eduardo Ramirez, Ambrosio Rodriguez, Vicente Zepeda, and a man named only by the last name of Silvero all left. It was also thought that Antonio Menchaca may also have been taken advantage of the ceasefire. But he declared in his memoirs 40 years later that at the start of the siege, Bowie and Seguin encouraged him to take his family and leave, as he was a marked man. Now, many of these men subsequently joined Seguin's reconstituted company at Gonzales, and some participated under his command at the Battle of San Jacinto. Tejanos participated in the siege and final assault on the Mexican side as well. Some served to run errands and also performed other services for the Mexican army. However, unless conscripted at San Antonio into one of the units that participated in the final assault, no Tejano actually actively participated in the Mexican side of the attack of March 6th. Tejanos, of course, made up San Antonio's leadership and were present during the siege and the follow. Francisco Antonio Ruiz, San Antonio's alcalde in 1836, declared that he, Ramon Musquiz, parish priest Refugio de la Garza, and other members of the town council were ordered by Santa Anna to dispose of the Mexican dead and help burn the bodies of the fallen defenders. Historians will never know how many other Tejanos remained in San Antonio during the siege and battle, nor will scholars be able to ascertain with certitude how many of those who later gave accounts of the Alamo's fall actually witnessed the events. Facts that cannot be disputed is that many Tejanos served and served well during the Battle of the Alamo. Next episode, I'll take a deeper dive, a deeper look at the Battle of the Alamo. Remember, if you want more information on Texas history, visit the Texas State Historical Association. I also have two audiobooks on the hidden history of Texas, one which deals with about 1500s to 1820, and the other 1820s to 1830s. You can find the books pretty much wherever you download or listen to audiobooks. Just search for Hidden History of Texas by Hank Wilson. Listen, you know, links to all the stores are on my publisher's website, https://ashbnavis.com. That's ashbnavis.com. There's a link to this on my website, arctx.org, Arc Texas, arctx.org. Thanks for listening, boys and girls. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later. Have a great rest of your day.